Good to be here with you, and I trust the Lord will bless us. This is a word of prayer before we return to the Word of God, and let's just seek the Lord. Father in heaven, as we do gather before Thee this night, we thank Thee for Thy hand upon each one, for a journey of mercy here, and we pray that You'll bless us. We thank Thee for the fellowship we've had, and we pray the fellowship we have later on as well. As we come to Thy Word, O Lord, we thank Thee for the truth of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank Thee, O God, as we gather here, we can come to preach the blessed gospel we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, be with us, I pray. Help both the listener and both the preacher as well. And we pray that You'll stand by us, I pray. And Lord, stand at our elbow and give us word right from Thee, I pray, in the Savior's precious name. Amen. And amen. I say it is good to be here. Maybe afterwards, maybe I'll say different, but it is good to be here at the moment. It's nice to get to a new fellowship one with the other. And the lunch, what did you say, food's at 10 o'clock? Well, I'll have a little time with you anyway, and we're going to turn the Word of God to the book of Mark, chapter number 2. Mark, chapter 2, a familiar portion of Scripture, and we're going to read from the verse number 1. And Mark, chapter number 2. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached in the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemous? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they also reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Amen. And we'll end our reading there. We trust the Lord shall truly bless us as we do gather here this evening. So I was thinking of this meeting, and our brother McClung did ask us earlier on to be here a few months back, and I said, no, can't do. And then he asked again. I said, I can't do it again. So I thought, we'll never ask again to come back, so I'll be all right. But he came back and said, you have to come back in December. And then I thought he wouldn't be here either, so that would work out even easier. But then he's still here, sitting at the back, and he won't get out, I think, is that what you call it? But it's good to be. I enjoy fellowship with a brother. We have good times of prayer together, and with other brethren on a Wednesday. We had a good feed past on Wednesday past. We enjoyed our Christmas dinner, even though it was only the beginning of December. But it's good to enjoy those things. Also, by the way, it's good to enjoy a fellowship one with the other. And I encourage you this evening to not only renew fellowship, but to get to know other young people. The saying, likes of, ones from Carrick, sitting at one side and you all sitting at the other side. You really should be mixed together and enjoying the fellowship company of one another. But I just want to speak just briefly this evening on being concerned. Because as a young person, I believe it is something we need to be concerned for the lives of others. And as we look at this passage before us, I want us to be concerned, but not overly concerned about ourselves and concerned about other people as well. And I trust the Lord will truly speak to your heart as we do read. We read this passage, we come to the preaching of God's precious word. Being concerned, The first concern I found when I read this passage of Scripture was in verse number 2 and verse number 3, and is about being concerned about your friends. The Bible tells us in these verses, says, "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them." The Bible is telling us that it is noised about, that there the good news about Jesus Christ has come into the community. There's noise of the wondrous works which Christ has done. And the people of the land aren't as they should be, but they're striving to be in the place where God is. They're desiring to be where Jesus Christ is. And when it becomes a reality and the suddenness of Christ coming into the area, it is noised about the place. People, they suddenly hear that he's set forth in this house. And once they get the noise of it, they come and they gather themselves as soon as possible. Why did they come? To get a glimpse of the Savior. To sit, and as the Bible says, he preached the word unto them. They sit and listen to the word of God being preached, because they wanted to hear the words with Jesus Christ. There was neither another man speak like this man. And Christ, the people were interested in what Christ had to say. It was impossible to conceal the place that Christ was in. And it is where the people thronged, or they went, and they enjoyed being in the presence, and they enjoyed of Christ, they enjoyed hearing the word of God being went forth. Do you know something, what it was? It was different than what they were listening to in that day. It was different to what they were hearing. And I wonder this evening, if that happened today, would people come and fill this house? Would people from the area, would they come? If they knew that the word of God was being preached here, it is, would they have a desire to come to hear God's precious word? Would they want to come in? Your answer is no. They wouldn't. Humanly, they don't. If it was so, this church would be full. Even this evening, young people from the area would be gathered. Even gathered in here. But we see these people, and they've a concern for their friends. And I see them, and the people all gather in, and they're told, they tell us that they throng the place in so much as nobody else can get in. They're out as much as it were, the door. But Jesus is in the house. He's in the house. And I want you to think about what Christ in this house, and how the people were gathered in the house, and being concerned with getting people into God's house. Giving that desire to bring people into the house of the Lord. You know something they didn't need, we all use today. They didn't need special announcements. They didn't need wee cards running around and telling people, this is a meeting coming on, look forward to it. By the way, I'm as bad as a brother is. We like to get invitations out and cards out, let people know about special meetings as well. Because we want people to have that in their hands and want people to see that we enjoy seeing them come in, enjoy seeing them listening to God's word. But in Christ's day, they didn't need those things. Christ was coming into the area and it awoke a lot of people up, and it says, we need to get to hear what Christ says. And find here, it says, straightway many gathered together. They gathered together. And many people were interested in hearing about the things of God. But these people have a concern. I want you to think of a friend this evening. And I want you to concern yourself with someone outside of Christ who you know. Maybe you've known them for a number of years. Maybe you've only came into contact with them. But somebody that you're thinking about right now, I want you to consider them. And they're outside of Christ and they're not saved. And they're never gathered in the house of the Lord. I wonder, have you got a concern for their soul? Have you got a concern to bring them, as it were, to Jesus? Have you got a concern for them? Because these people, they had a concern, and there's a worry about their friend. In verse 3 it says, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And they come and they bring this man to Jesus Christ. But notice, they've a concern or they've a worry about their friend, but they haven't got him as far as seeing Jesus. They haven't got him as, they're not bringing him into the house, because there's no room. And I wonder, as I say once again, I wonder, is your do you know someone, and they don't go to church, so they don't go in the house of the Lord, or they don't think much about the gospel, and they're not saved. Have you got a concern for them? Unless they go out into eternity without Christ. The reality is, have you concern for your friends? These men did. These men had a concern, and they bring their friends to see Jesus. And as they do, as I said, they can't get in, but they don't give up. They don't give up. You see, these people want this man to be in the presence of Jesus. You see, not only did they want to hear Jesus preach, not only did they want to hear the words which the Savior was going to bring forth, but they wanted to see Christ do a work in this man's life. They wanted to see Christ. And I wonder, a young person this evening, when is the last time you invited someone to church, to youth, to another event that you go to regularly and you wonder where someone else is? When is the last time you asked someone to come along? Or when's the last time you prayed for them? When's the last time you had a desire to do like these men, to get your friend to the Savior? A conversation with a man, and he said to me, "No, there's a person I was speaking to up the road," and he says, "You know, I nearly got him saved." I says, "You know, you nearly can get nobody saved. You can bring them under the ministry of the Word, but you can't save anybody." I know that he's maybe mixed up with himself, but he said, "I nearly got him saved, and that's my friend, you know. That's my friend." The young person, they wonder, are you concerned about your friends? Say, what then, preacher? These people gathered here, these are my friends. I don't have friends outside anywhere. But you know, the reality is, you meet many a person, your friends, your school colleagues, your workmates. You gather along these people every day. But then, when have you given a desire or had a desire to reach them, to bring them into the house of the Lord, into the house of God? A few weeks ago, a few months ago, 10th of September, I was asked to go and see a lady in a hospital. The words I was told was, she's done. She'd never recover from this, and she's just done. And I got her name, was expecting to go see this woman who was frail, lying in bed, not able to do a thing. I walked in through the door, walked around to the ward. She was sitting up, looking like a queen. You'd hardly think there was anything wrong with her. And we began to have a conversation with each other, and the reason I was going was because her daughter had a concern that she was unsaved, and so did her son-in-law. And they were sending me to that hospital, and as I walked into the hospital, seen the lady, I began to have a conversation with her, and then I turned it to spiritual things and says, "By the way, can I just be clear with you? So I want to ask you a little question. Are you saved?" She says, "No, I'm not." I thanked her for her honesty, and we continued a conversation. We asked her the question, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" She says, "Yes, I do." "Do you believe that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners such as you?" She said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Do you believe that you're a sinner before God? You need God's salvation?" She says, "Yes, I do." I said, "Well, what's holding you back?" "Any 6 years of age." This was her answer. "Nobody ever asked me." 86 years of age on this earth, in a country for many years has been blessed with the gospel. Sad to say today, they try to ruin things today. We've got sort of people trying to make influence in our land, such as Stella Crazy and everything else, trying to ruin our land on us. But you know, the reality was, that woman, nobody's ever asked me to get right before God. But there was a family concern. And I says to her, "Would you like to get saved?" And then you could see the tears fall down the face. And on the 10th of September, that woman came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. Last Friday, I had the privilege of telling her parents, or her family circle, at her graveside, the work that God had done. You know what she said to me? I'm going to give you news of what she said next to me. "Only my daughter's saved. What can I tell the rest of them?" I says, "Tell them the good news. Tell them you've got good news. They'll think the hospital's told you something good." I says, "Tell them the Lord saved you. The Lord saved you." But we're gathered here this evening, and we're only here for a brief time on this earth. But are you concerned about your friends? Are you concerned? These men are the concern. They had a concern for their friends, but let's go into it. They had a concern also about his health. And the verse number 3 says, "And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And 4 men come, and they gathered this man before the people. And there's an issue. There's an issue with this man's friends. They want this man to come before Jesus. They want him to come to the Savior, and they're pleading his cause on his behalf. They're bringing him where he needs to be. This man's sick of the palsy. His life needs a touch from the Lord. He needs that touch. But these men had a concern for them. They had a concern for the sickness, and they made all the effort they could to bring this man to come to see Jesus Christ. And maybe, doesn't say it, but maybe they've tried other things. They realize Christ's the only one that can do a work. But let me tell you something. These men got their friend under, as it were, the ministry of Jesus Christ, and Christ didn't disappoint them. Christ didn't disappoint, and they take time and they take effort. And surely this man needed to come to Jesus. They came. I know a young man, he's not older than some of you men gathered here. It's just a few years possibly. And this young man is struggling with life. I was talking to him again this afternoon for a few moments of time. He's finding things difficult. His friends have let him down. His father passed away, his mother passed away early in life. He's struggling with the alcohol addiction. Wants to know and love the Lord, wants to have salvation in his life. But he's caught up with the addiction of alcohol. And he's lost. He said that to me the other day, "I'm lost. I just don't know where to turn. I feel like just walking down the road and giving up my life." He said, "Walking into the water. Something, just there's nothing to live for." And he's in a difficult situation. And he feels hopeless. Do you know why? He's got a consideration to come to hear God's word. But he's struggling. He's struggling. There's a man I know who went through the same situation, struggling. Thank the Lord we've been dealing with him. He's come through the other side. He visited that man today. He was there to try and help him. But let me just give you a little insight to this man's life. He's been an alcoholic for 3 years now. He stopped drinking 2 months ago. Moved from Dungannon area, moved down to Whitehead not so long ago. He met someone last night and they gave him a drink. He's in tears on the phone call and talking to us today. And he's so sorry. His friends have taken him down the road. And they're taking him far from Christ. But you know, he says, "I want to get to know Christ. I want to be saved. I want to know what it is. I want to be in church. I want to hear God's word." He says, "But I'm so wretched at the moment." He's wretched. And let me say, young people, don't go near alcohol because it'll ruin your life. And young Christian, it'll ruin your testimony as well. But these men, I think of these men, they could have went themselves and they could have went and they could have made no effort to help this man. They could have left him behind. But no, they had a concern for his health. They had a concern for his situation. And they had confidence in Jesus Christ that he could do a work. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, "And they come unto him." Verse 3. They came unto him. "And they bring one sick of the palsy." Who did? His friends did. The Bible says it was born of 4. It was 4 of them. And there's a cooperation between them, by the way, there. They work together. And young person this evening, I would encourage you to help another person grow in the things of God. I encourage you to help another person if they're beginning to feel, or if you can see something going on in their lives which isn't right, speak to them, help them along. Don't ignore them. But have a concern about their spiritual health. And these men went together. And if these people had not have worked together, I want you to listen to this part. Because if these men had not worked together, this man would not have been brought to Jesus. If they didn't work together, but such is their concern for the health that they bring him in. They bring him in. And when they brought them, they don't give up. Maybe there's somebody you know and you give up on them. And assumingly, we do sometimes it. Sometimes it pains us to let go, but sometimes just they drain us completely. But these men didn't let go. The Bible says that in verse 4 that when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they covered the roof. They covered the roof where he was, and when they had, the Bible says, broken it up, they led down the bed wherein they, sick of the palsy, lay. You see, they went the extra mile. And they went the extra mile. What can they do to reach for this man to come to the Savior? They recognize, firstly, his opportunity. And they bring him here to where Christ is, and they recognize this man has an opportunity. And just as both myself and the Reverend McClung bring the Word of God every day, and when they come on the Sabbath day, you gather here, and people hear the preaching of the Word faithfully preached. The reality there is that people are coming with the opportunity of hearing God's precious Word, whereby through God's Word that their lives would be transformed from sin. What do? They don't want them to miss out. They go the extra mile. And you know, we could think of it this way. Maybe this man had heard of Christ in other places, and he wanted to be there, but never could make it by himself. They go all out to bring this man in. To bring him in. And the Bible says they brought them to Jesus. So for you, have you got that concern for your friends? Or maybe you're just sitting in this youth meeting this evening unconcerned about somebody else. Unconcerned. Being concerned about our friends and our health. You know what concern did? I want you to take hold of this. Concern give them a desire to keep on going. No matter how young you are or how old you are, we always need that concern to keep on going. Look at verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. The men couldn't get any farther. And this concern brought them to think of this man's needs. Whatever the cost, get this man to Jesus. Whatever the cost. A young man from the Crown College in England a few years ago, sitting in a prayer meeting, and knowing his family was outside of Christ, this is what he said: Lord, whatever it takes, save my family circle. Lord, whatever it takes. That young man was heading down the road 2 days later and was involved in a serious car accident and went out into God's eternity. His parents asked them the question, what did he do? What did he say? And they were told the news of 2 days before him crying that prayer, Lord, whatever it takes, save my parents. So the Lord did. But there's a concern here to do all that they can. And they go up onto the roof and they do what they shouldn't do. They do whatever they can. And what they're doing is they're overcoming difficulties. You see, when their eyes, they see the remedy. They see that Christ, the Savior, is in the midst. And it proved that they were concerned enough to go the extra mile for him. And I want you to think of them uncovering that roof in that moment. Not only uncovering the roof, but laying that man and leading him down into the midst of the room. Was it enough? Of course it was. But I wonder, what about each one of us? What are we doing for God? Just enough? Or whatever it takes? What's your concern? Are you curious about the lives of people you know? Knowing that lives of family or friends are in critical conditions, crippled by sin. And to be honest, they need you to be concerned for them because they have no concern. No concern. And they're committed to their sinful ways. I wonder, have we got as much commitment to the things of God? The things of God. I wonder, are you careful and caring enough to, as it were, lower someone down to hear about Jesus Christ? And then there's a cure, verse number 6. It says in verse number 6 of this passage, verse 5, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And there's faith. Because of their faith, because of what Christ saw, Christ did a work which was then impossible. Impossible. You see, Christ didn't just heal him from the sick of the palsy. But did you know what Christ did there? He forgave his sins. Forgive his sins. How come? Because four friends had concern enough to bring him to Jesus. And Christ looked and seen their faithfulness. Christ gazed upon him and saw what he needed. And this man took up his bed and walked away. Young person, I urge you to stand up for God in these days. There's much work that's needed done in this land we live in. It's such a sinful land. And I urge you to use your life for the Lord. Live your life for the Lord and bring people under the ministry of the Word of God. And let the Lord do something that we cannot do. Heal them from their sin. You see, they kept on going. It reminds us of the talents. I often favor the person with the one talent. You say, well, you should favor the person with the 5 that came 10. But I always favor the one. Do you want to know why? I think the master saw something good in him. Something unique. That he gave him one that he said he could do more with. Maybe the master thought that this one with the one could do much more than the rest of them. But he hid his talent. He hid what he could do for God. Maybe you say, but preacher, I couldn't speak to someone about coming to church. Well, I should ask, why not? I couldn't do it. Well then, if you're in good company, get one of them to do it instead. Because people are going out to a lost eternity without Christ. And we need a concern for our friends and for their health. And may God give us a desire to keep on going. Because there will be times when you'll feel like you shouldn't bother. But may God give us the relationship with others that we would lead them and show them their need and let Christ do the work just as Christ did right here. So it's all about friends. All about your friends. How are you, as being their friend, leading them? And leading them wherever they should go. This man sick of the palsy was a man in such need. But yet, his friends took action when this man needed it most. What about yours? They need it most. And yet, you're doing nothing, maybe. Let me just give you a little story before I finish, because no time is flying on already. Everybody should have finished before now. 5 years ago, one of the worst things I ever could experience happened in my life. The boys know all about it. It happened to them too. It hurt like mad. I'll never forget it till the day I die. But I remember a conversation I had straight away after, the next day, with some young men. On the 4th of May, 5 years ago, I was lying in my bed, having a good night's sleep, thinking everything was fine. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I received a phone call. And all I got was, Stephen, Jordan's dead. You need to phone the rest of them and tell them. I've got that job, unfortunately. And when something happens, they contact me and I have to tell the rest of them. Jordan was my 14-year-old nephew, my wife's sister's young boy. And Jordan, at that moment, 3 o'clock in the morning, passed into God's eternity. I'm being honest this evening. There was questions in our head where I was. There's questions. I think the family were more joyful to see a Sunday school teacher to say she had pointed him to Christ not so long before. We often think about it. I never forget that phone call. Jordan lived in our house for every other weekend for 2 years, riding up to that time where he passed away. I can surely say that time, if that was before, I think I was doing exams, 6 years ago actually now. The exams, a couple of days before a theology exam. It broke our heart completely. I went around at the house, and the very next day I was sitting around with all my nephews outside, standing outside the back, and there were tears. And this is the words I told them. I've never told anybody these words before. I turned to my nephews and said to them, make sure that if anything happens to you, we know where you're at. Make sure that we know that you're saved. And that should concern you. Because even at 14 years of age, you can go out into God's eternity. The youngest I've buried since I've come to this area is 5 years of age. Your friends and your neighbours are going out into God's eternity. But I wonder, have you a concern for them? May you take the influence from these men and come and reach others for Jesus Christ. Have you concern for them, your friends? Have you concern for their health? And does it concern you so much that it drives you on to reach other people? Thank you for listening this evening, for being here. And I pray that that concern would ever grow in your heart and you'd burden for the things of God. As we come to a close of our meeting, just close in a word of prayer, brother. You want to say a few things afterwards? I'll give thanks for the food too, if I'm at it. If you have a concern, say, you know, how do I speak to people? The girl, I was up in Tyndale taking the meeting about a year ago in the youth meeting, and a girl walked up to me afterwards and says, you know, my friend at work won't consider the gospel at all, won't let me talk to him at all. What do I do? What do I do?